Welcome to The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families, centered on biblical truth and Catholic teaching, because God's kingdom begins at home. Now welcome your hosts, Mari, John, and Craig, here on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Good morning and welcome into The Family Room. This is Mari. I'm so glad that you are with us, and I'm here with my co-host, John. Hey, John, how are you today?
Good morning, Mari. Hope you're well.
I am good. We are missing Craig, but yes, we have to celebrate because Craig's daughter, Gabrielle, who anybody who listens to the show knows, is graduating from Life University today. So we're very excited for her. Congratulations.
Great news.
Yes, it is great news. So today we are going to be talking about this is the year of hope, the Jubilee of Hope. We are going to be talking about a very hope-filled organization that brings great hope into the lives of so many people here in the Atlanta area. And so we're going to be talking to two of the leaders at the Pregnancy Aid Clinic here in Atlanta. I know that I am so amazed by the work that they do. I've gotten to go to a number of their galas and been so inspired by speakers there, but also the number of people here in Atlanta who really pour in. I've got personal friends who work there, volunteer there, and I know I personally have stood outside a sidewalk and gotten to escort a young lady to the Pregnancy Aid Clinic, and she chose life. And it's just amazing to watch. Just watch the beautiful work that they do. John, you have thoughts about
I do. We pro-life folks take a lot of headshots because they say all you want to do is get that baby out and then you don't care, right? And this is, we're going to hear a lot of great stuff. It reminds me of, I think it's the second chapter of James, you know, don't say, you know, stay warm and well fed and leave, right? You do them. That's the good works. And what we're going to hear today is the good works part of it, putting our faith in practice, putting legs on our beliefs. And then I'm especially anxious to hear Andre, our guest, talk about the father piece of it.
Yes.
We'll share that for the show, but very interested in spending some time on that.
Yeah, that's a part, that's a newer part of the Pregnancy Aid Clinic's organizational mission, but obviously a very much needed part. And so it's going to be amazing to listen to Andre's heart around that and what he does in that program, because as you said, people think that we're just here to like, okay, yay, a baby saved, and then you walk away. That is not it at all in pro-life. And watching some of our beautiful people here in Atlanta who've worked, I know you guys know Kathy Schneider, of course. Yeah, yes. She's one of my besties.
Amazing.
She's amazing. We've had her on the show a number of times, but just the day-to-day work that's done to help give people hope in their lives. So nice. We are so thankful you guys are here. Let me make sure our listeners know who's here, but before we do that, we're going to ask John to pray, and then we'll bring you on in.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in your own image. And part of that image, Father, is as creator. And you've given us the privilege, the ability to create. When we come together, we create a life and you place a soul in it. We ask for your guidance. We ask your blessing on this time together, that what we do will protect and honor and raise an awareness and bring to the front the minds and hearts and souls of folks who are listening and who can be affected by those listening, so that we might respect the life, respect the gift, and respect the image in which we are made. Father, we lift these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, John. So we have with us, as I said, two of the leaders from the Pregnancy Aid Clinic. We've got Sarah Weichert, who is the CEO, and we have Andre White, who is the Fatherhood Program Manager. Sarah has been in fundraising, development, and nonprofit for a number of years. And so she's somewhat new to this organization and already doing amazing gangbuster work there. She's married with two sons, and she's a parishioner at St. Bridget. And Andre, you've also been for a couple of years now with the Pregnancy Aid Clinic, and your passion, your heart for the fatherhood program is just beautiful. I've gotten to hear you speak on it a couple of times. And you are the father of two girls as well. Yes, and correct. You are a parishioner at Our Lady of Lords. So we are so thankful for both of you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And like John just said, listen to that. They both have just beautiful radio voices already.
I know.
Okay. So Pregnancy Aid Clinic, I'm going to briefly just mention a couple of things. It's a nonprofit center. It's been providing medical services, client advocacy, parenting education, and post-abortion healing, regardless of people's financial abilities, their race, their age, their religion, for over 40 years. Since 1984.
That's right.
Amazing. It really makes sure that it addresses the whole person, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and in very compassionate and non-judgmental ways. And we're going to get into a lot of things that you guys do, and all your services are free, which is amazing. So welcome into the family room. We are so glad you're here.
Thank you.
As our listeners know, we always put you on the spot right as we start by going, okay, tell us about your faith journeys, right? For Catholics, people are like, what? My faith journey? Hold on. I'm a cradle Catholic, which I think you both are, right?
Right. Sure. Yes, I am.
I am as well.
Yeah. So, but we are going to go ahead and start that way. So we'd love to hear your personal faith journeys, kind of where you met God and kind of what your journeys look like. So Sarah, why don't we start with you?
Well, I grew up in Indiana and cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school all through grade school and high school. And it's just been a real important part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It really has. My family, we religiously said the rosary every night.
Wow.
As a family. My parents are very devout, and my brothers and sisters are as well. So it's beautiful. We're really a devout Catholic family. I love adoration, and it's so beautiful to see that you have the little chapel here.
Yeah.
That is, it's just been something I try not to take for granted, but I guess it's just been a part of my life for so long.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about now being in pro-life, it's not really funny, but it's interesting how things come full circle, is my mom was so active in the pro-life movement in the 70s and 80s. And it's just, I love that now I am doing this work.
Yeah. You know, and for all those parents out there who sometimes think, oh, my kids, they're not ever paying attention to anything I say or anything I do. What a beautiful story to encourage them. Yeah, your kids do see what you're doing, and it can come full circle.
Absolutely. And my children, too, went to Catholic school, grade school, and then went to Pius in high school. So, I just have a very... I just really love my faith. I love the Catholic faith.
That's great. John, were you going to say something?
Nope. I was just acknowledging that, other than curious about where in Indiana.
I grew up in Fort Wayne.
Okay.
Indiana. Yes. I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then I went to school at Butler in Indianapolis.
Okay. Oh, yep. Yeah. Okay.
Good deal. Awesome.
So Hoosier.
I was just going to say Hoosier.
I did time in Kokomo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh. And Andre, what about you?
Yes, almost very similar upbringing. First grade through 12th grade, Catholic school, Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile,
my
great.
Birth home. Yes, my mother, all of her side of the family, everybody were devout Catholics. God's always been at the center, even through sports. Being in Catholic school, we always had to have God first. We brought God on the road trips with us in wins and losses as well. He doesn't have his favorites, as some may think, but for sure. Just embedded in the Catholic faith. My children attended first through 12. I've worked at a couple of schools here in the Atlanta metro area, St. John the Evangelist Catholic Elementary School. And I worked at our Our Lady of Mercy Catholic High School. So at both the elementary school, which was a feeder school to the high school, I worked as a basketball coach, track coach, flag football coach, and et cetera. So I've always given to the same community that helped mold and shape me through my Catholic faith.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. So, you know, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for those kind of stories, right? Where, yeah, God's just always been there. Yeah.
So, like, the next question that I want to ask then, it's been our experience that God begins to plant seeds in people's lives. And from those seeds, the good things, the good fruit grows, right? So maybe take a minute and share with us what seeds did God plant? When did this kind of begin to grow? Not just in the fact that you lived a faith-filled life, but now a faith-filled life where your works are in these pro-life endeavors. Maybe share that if you could.
I'll start with that. I think even going back to when I was an altar server, I think that was the seed that was planted in serving masses on Sundays, even serving funerals, serving weddings, and being surrounded by the Catholic priests and the nuns. I was actually in school with nuns. Yes. So I think that's where all those seeds were planted, and it allows me to have the ability to serve where I am now today with the Pregnancy Aid Clinic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because you think about it, you said, you know, you served at all those different events. And so you saw life. You saw life and death, and you saw the beauty of life and death, and you saw the beauty of how people celebrated and just the value of that. Yes. So that makes sense. I've never connected that, the fact that you're up on the altar as an altar server and you see all of that. That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I can say I remember so clearly these little feet that my mom would wear. It was like a little pin.
Yes.
And it was just when Roe v. Wade happened. And I tell this story that she was so active. We had rotary phones.
Yeah,
everybody remember those.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the phone book, and she would contact all of her parishioner friends, and they were just very passionate about this issue. And I was little at the time, but that just really made this indelible mark on me. And I just felt like there was no other alternative, of course. It was just so terrible what was happening.
Yeah.
And I just really feel that was the seed for me early, early on. And she had all the materials out, and they were going around and passing these out to neighborhoods. And they were really just, looking back, it was such a grassroots effort, right?
Yeah.
And so that was a real seed for me. And now that I'm doing this work, I think, oh my goodness, it's just come full circle. And isn't it, it's sad in some ways that even though the laws have changed, the need, this mission is still so important.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. You know, and I'm thinking about your mom and she was trying to educate people and give them information. We have so much more information now. We can educate people at such a richer and deeper level. And you would think that once people understood the truth of what was really happening, they, like you said, it seems like everybody would be like, oh my gosh, no way, we can't do this. Right. But the evil one is evil, and he is evil, and he distorts truth, and he distorts understanding, and he distorts wisdom. And so we do continue to need grassroots effort to reach out individually to individual people and help them understand the truth of this. If you are just joining us, listeners, you are here in the Family Room. And we are with two of the leaders from the Pregnancy Aid Clinic here in Atlanta, Sarah Weichert and Andre White. So, Sarah, as I mentioned earlier, you are the newest executive director at PAC. So we're so excited that you are on board.
Thank you.
And we referred to it several times, and obviously those of us here who've worked with PAC know exactly what you guys do. But can you expand for us and tell us a little bit more what the PAC's mission is? Who does it serve? How do you guys serve people? And maybe even how you partner with parishes, because I'm sure our listeners are very active people and they want to go, okay, what can I, you know, how do you work with my church?
Absolutely. Okay, so we are Pregnancy Aid Clinic. And we have three medical clinics mm-hmm. throughout Atlanta. We have one in Forest Park, one in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, and then one in Roswell. Mm-hmm. We're a nonprofit organization. And so all of the services that we provide our patients and our clients are free.
Yeah.
And most of the services that we provide are the free pregnancy tests and the ultrasounds. Mm-hmm. And we also, so women will come in and have a pregnancy test. They'll have an ultrasound. And a lot of times when Andre's there, he will give them their his card and talk about the fatherhood program. But we have other, we have programs that will help women who are in crisis, because 77% of the women that come through our doors are very abortion vulnerable. And what does that mean, being abortion vulnerable? That means that their circumstances, they've either had an abortion previously, they are without a job, or they have financial instability. Many are homeless. Some are even living in their car. They can be disconnected with their family. They're facing domestic violence. Some are trafficked. There is so much hurt in the world that come through our doors, unfortunately. And we are there to walk side by side with these women
yeah.
in a non-judgmental way. And like you talked in the beginning about more of the justice, and then we call it the mercy side.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of our programs focus on the mercy side, on helping these women feel support.
Yeah.
And so many that come through the doors are, well, they're in crisis. Mm-hmm. They're very emotional. They don't know what to do. They don't have a support system.
Yeah.
They're disconnected from their family. And they just don't. They feel they are out of options.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so the one beautiful thing about, well, we have many beautiful things about Pregnancy Aid Clinic, but when a woman comes in, she is greeted with our advocates and our medical team, mm-hmm. which will share with her support offerings, references, things that maybe she's never thought of.
And so what would an example of those be? Like places to live or jobs, or what is that?
Yeah,
mean?
Places to live, mm-hmm. Opportunity, job opportunities. Depending on her situation, we can enroll her in a year of hope.
Mm.
And we have done that in the past for families and offer financial support to them. Some families and some women just need a deposit on an apartment, or they're facing eviction. Mm-hmm. And so we can be that, you know, that bridge
yeah.
for them,
yeah.
You know, helping them through that financial crisis. Another thing, I'll tell you a story. This woman comes in and she has a great relationship with her dad, excuse me, the pollen. But she is, she just refuses to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, there's just no way I can tell him.
Mm.
There's just no way. And she said, I just don't want him to feel embarrassed.
Mm.
I just don't want him to feel that I've let him down.
Yeah.
And the advocate looked at her and said, what if you did tell him? What would be the worst thing? And they talk these women through different scenarios to just make them see the other side of
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
See the other option. And so the woman left. And sometimes women leave and we really don't know what happens. But more than often, they'll come back.
Yeah.
She came back a week later beaming. She told her dad, and he was actually so happy because he had been praying for her that God would guide her, that you know, the right thing was going to be happening to her. She was in school at the time, and You know, so he took it as this must be meant to be. Uh-huh. I've been praying for this. And her whole attitude, her whole energy, her whole spirit just changed in that moment. And so that's a lot of what the advocates and the medical team do, is that they just help these women, and they're just such a support to these women. And I know we'll probably talk about this later, but we have a baby shower that we do every year. It's our community baby shower. And last year, people came up and said, thank you for being part of our family.
Oh,
that's what we really hope to do.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And you do. You offer so much hope. And I love the thought that God had already prepared that young lady's heart, dad's heart, and your advocate could help her think about that and look at, you know, what do you think your dad might really say, and what would happen, and how amazing that while they were having that conversation, God was already preparing her dad's heart at the same time, because God, oh my gosh, is a God of life and love and hope. Yes. That's beautiful.
I'd like to piggyback off of that just a little. Sometimes the female advocates will come and call me into their advocacy with the young ladies.
Yeah.
They may see signs of maybe there wasn't a father involved, or there's relationship areas where maybe I could be helpful. And sometimes those that are fearful of telling their parents, I'll tell them, well, you have a lot of feedback from them in the beginning, but I can promise you, you'll have to pry their hands off of that grandbaby when that baby is born.
Amen.
Yes.
Exactly. Amen. Yes, everybody already, oh, and John already knows this, I don't yet, but everybody always says the grandkids are even better than the kids, right?
Absolutely. And you're 100% right. They will not let go. The things you've shared, there's so many things that you shared, Sarah, and it reminds me, Mari, you speak of the awesome God that we have, right?
Yes.
It's certainly true. But there is the other side, the evil one who seeks to divide. And in the case that you shared, Sarah, right, he just wants these poor women to believe that they are isolated and alone, and there's no options, right?
Right. Yeah. That's
so,
exactly right.
So giving the options. And so I look to you, Andre, and say, one of the things might be to keep a father or the father away, or to harden the father's heart. I was just so excited to hear that the whole fatherhood piece is being considered, right? Because I'll quote a little preacher that I heard a few weeks ago at a pro-life rally. He's like, I don't need to explain this to you, but there's two people involved in this event. Right?
That's correct.
And his challenge was, who's talking to the young men? Who's helping the young men? Talk to that a little bit, if you would.
So, yes, when a lot of the females come into the office, they will have the young man with them to accompany them. Mm-hmm. And prior to my arrival, working with Pregnancy Aid Clinic, I started out as a volunteer the very first year. And so there was a need to engage the young men. They would sit in the lobby, or go back to their automobiles and sit out in the car. And so there was nothing that was there to be offered. And the idea was broached that maybe we should have a man come in and talk to these young men. So I started out volunteering for the first year, and we worked out all the logistics until it became a full-time opportunity. But when the young men come in, I have about 30 to 60 seconds to engage them, because generally they're there with their guard up. You know, it's not their appointment. You know, I'm just here because maybe I'm being dragged in, or, you know, or maybe I'm really excited. And so I get a chance to find that out. And then once they're okay with knowing that this is a safe space for them to have a conversation with me, then it could be 30 minutes to an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Once we're engaged. And through that time, I get to find out their journey.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the trauma that men have is what makes them fearful of being a dad going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we talk about those, if that's the case, or maybe they're unemployed and they feel less than.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with resources that can provide, you know, job fairs or actual contact to employers. Another level for young men is just the fact that maybe they haven't known the young lady long enough. And so we talk about that and how that relationship is going, what needs to happen to build, you know, the bond, as, you know, either as a unit, but definitely as co-parents.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them, they may not even understand that. What is really a co-parent?
Right.
So I engage them and talk to just a myriad of ways that they can stay focused and stay present when these children are born.
That's beautiful. You know, we oftentimes, we were talking about the hope for the mother, but our society has basically made men think that they don't have anything to do with this. This is the woman's choice. This is the woman's situation. And that is absolutely not true. And so how beautiful to know that these young men are coming in. They have this wonderful, strong father figure, this man that they can, you know, you can relate to, you can find ways to relate to them. I'm sure in your 30 to 60 seconds, you figure out some way to kind of pull them in. And then they hear this gentle, kind, compassionate voice giving them truth and giving them hope and seeing them and seeing them and helping them to see what their role is and who has ever done that for them before. And that's beautiful.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, letting them know that they do have a voice, but a lot of times they're maybe not equipped on how to communicate.
Yeah.
And so we do the communication exercises. We do the role play so that when she's finished, and they called him for the ultrasound, now he can have that conversation and know how to express himself.
Wow.
To know that that they have to do this together.
Wow. So like immediately you're preparing them with the words to be able to have that conversation.
Yes. Imagine this is in real time.
Yeah.
They come to the clinic speculating, but then once they get the positive test, then that's the reality. And now it's all sinking in real time. And we're having advocacy right away.
Oh, that is amazing. Yeah. So when we come back from break, we're going to ask you guys to hear some of those stories, because I know the Fatherhood program is fairly new, but you already have some amazing stories about what has happened through that program. So we are very excited to hear more about that. So listeners, you are here in the family room. We are here today with Sarah Weichert and Andre White from the Pregnancy Aid Clinic here in Atlanta. And stay tuned for some more just beautiful information and stories and hope during this Jubilee Year of Hope. Stay tuned. We'll be back here in just a few minutes.
We'll be right back in the family room, sponsored by VerseBright, right after this.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's V-E-R-Sprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
My name is Father Dan Ketter, a priest of the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and I want to share with you a favorite prayer of mine. This comes from St. Ignatius of Loyola. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All that I have and possess. Thou hast given all to me. To thee, O Lord, I return it. All is thine. Dispose of it wholly according to thy will. Give me thy love and thy grace, and this is sufficient for me.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
Abortion and the death penalty have one thing in common. They both take a human life. Many people in our country who are against the death penalty also support abortion. If we truly value human life, we should be against both the death penalty and abortion. The only difference between the two situations is that the person sentenced to death is an adult who made bad choices and must accept the consequences of their actions, while the other is an innocent preborn baby. The baby has been given a death sentence for the crime of being unplanned and inconvenient. These babies cannot help how they were conceived and shouldn't be punished. Unborn babies are innocent and cannot defend themselves. All of us must defend the defenseless who are guilty of no crime. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
This is Lisa Popcheck from More to Life. Catholic Radio changes lives. It's for you, with you, every single day. Whether you're rejoicing over something and you need a community to share that with, or you're struggling with something and you need a community to support you, we're here for you every day to teach you about your faith and to help you live it. This is your home, and we're always here for you. Thanks to our friends at EWTN, our programming is provided free of charge, but this station has other expenses that must be paid to keep the doors open and the lights on. Support of your local Catholic radio station helps keep shows like More to Life available in your area. No matter the amount, your gift works to make a difference for you, for others, and for the future of Catholic radio. Please prayerfully consider making a gift right now. We'll talk to you soon.
To donate, log on to thequestatlanta.com.
Hey, this is Father Eric Hill from the Catholic Church of the Transfiguration in Marietta, Georgia. And you're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to The Family Room with Mari, John, and Craig. Sponsored by Verse Sprite on AM 1160, The Quest.
Welcome back to The Family Room, everybody. We're here with Sarah Weichert and Andre White, and we're talking about the awesome work that they're doing at the Pregnancy Aid Clinic. There's three of them in Atlanta. And is tradition in the family room, we always ask our guests to spend a second to tell us what their favorite family room memory is. So something growing up, something in your current family. Tell us what you think. And I won't pick who goes first. You guys decide.
Well, it's March Madness. And my boys, they played basketball at St. Jude. But they love their soccer too, and we watch sports.
Yes.
It was
good.
Always on, and I have my bracket now with the NCAA, and I'm in second so far with So the boys still put together a bracket, but I have such fond memories, and we talk about this so much, just huddled around in the family room and watching sports and just having it be like, it was always like a little celebratory time. We just made the most of it. And, raising the two boys on my own, as a single mom, we think of those wonderful moments.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we're a big Kentucky family, so yeah.
You'll get over it.
Yeah, so we've got some of those memories too. Yeah, so very fun.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was always the holidays. So as a kid, our home was the home where my uncles and aunts, everybody migrated to our home. And so we'd sit around the table and dinner was ready, we'd pray. And then after dinner, there's probably a football game or something going on, or we all go outside. So as a kid, you don't realize what all the preparation is. You're just there to benefit from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then as an adult and having my own family and having to be in charge of the preparation of everything, that was a greater appreciation of what our family dynamic was. And God was always a part of that.
That's cool. Well, and so beautiful for you to recognize, right, that there were people who made your family memories so special, because when you're the one now in charge of making family memories special, it does take intentionality. It does take effort. Yeah.
Yes. And then getting to the family room, we'd be exhausted. So that was the fallout. That was the comfort.
That's great. So, Andre, before the break, you were telling us about the Fatherhood Program, which is a newer program at the Pregnancy Aid Clinic. And so we would love to hear some of your stories about what has happened now. You told us about spending maybe even up to 2 hours talking to these young men. So what kind of things are you seeing happening?
Yes, I'm seeing on a daily basis now just young men who are looking for preparation. And that's what we can offer them at Pregnancy Aid Clinic. Young men have come in. We've had one story where a young man and his girlfriend, they were actually at the abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. She was on the inside. And he was outside sitting in his car. And he just felt the presence of God. The sidewalk advocates were out there, and he could hear them, but he could hear God. And God just got louder and louder, and he got out of his car, went inside, and said, we can't do this. We can't allow you to do this. Oh. And they found our number and called, and they came into the clinic same day.
Wow.
And he just cried. Mm. He cried profusely and just told me that the Holy Spirit just would not allow him to go forward with determination.
Oh, wow.
So we'll get stories like that. We get young men that come in. They don't want to come into the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, it's your appointment. I'm not coming inside. So they're sitting out in the parking lot in their car. So the young lady said, I said, you know, where's the father? She said, oh, he's out in the car. He says he's not coming in. He won't come in. I said, oh, really?
I think I know where this is going.
Let me see what, you know, maybe I left something in my car that's outside. And he happened to be parked right next to it. So I opened the trunk, looked, piddled around in the trunk of my car. And then I just recognized him and approached him. And after 2 minutes, I was able to have him come in and come inside and sit down and talk with me. And he was just afraid. He just didn't know what to do.
Like yeah.
I said, prepared. There's no roadmap
right.
For the young man. But he had no idea that someone like me was inside either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of times that's part of what breaks down the barrier that they see there. Oh, there's a man inside.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm able to talk to those young men, have young men that come in and with their significant other, and they're just on different pages. You know, a lot of times we assume, and there's a narrative out there that, you know, a lot of the men are pressuring the young ladies to have abortions. I've had numerous men who were the willing parenting participant and didn't know how to have that conversation with the young lady.
So they almost felt like they didn't they weren't given the opportunity to say that they wanted to be a dad.
Correct. So
wow.
I had to uplift their confidence and just let them know that the communication is the key.
Yeah.
Make sure that, you know, you're a part of the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
And at times we've had to have the father of the baby and the mother of the baby come in and have a counseling session right there, just so that they could hear each other and communicate with each other. Because that's lacking in a lot of cases.
So you guys, I mean, we could probably do another hour just of great stories.
Mm.
And tempting as that is, maybe we could direct it just a little differently. Unless you've worked in a pregnancy aid clinic or volunteered, we don't have a good understanding of what actually goes on. What are the challenges that these couples or young men or young women specifically, I guess, are up against? What are you hearing? What are they saying is the reason that they feel that they don't want to have this child or they think they need to abort this child?
Well, I think most of it is that they just feel they're very emotional. It's, of course, most are, like I said, 77% that come through are abortion vulnerable. So they are in a place that they feel that they can't handle being pregnant, whatever that means for them. They're either maybe in school, they're not married yet, they don't know the gentleman very well, they don't want to disappoint or embarrass their family.
Mm-hmm.
They're without a job, or some are they're just destitute and they just feel optionless. There's a lot of that. There is a lot of that. Sometimes they feel pressure from their family. Like if they have told their mother or their father, there's pressure. I can tell you that most we see, women don't want to have an abortion.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I think that's the main thing people don't understand. The
right.
women do not want to have the abortion.
No.
Yeah.
That is not their first choice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. But like I said, they just feel so optionless.
Yeah.
And they don't feel they have the support. And a lot are, like I said earlier, very disconnected from their own families. Maybe that's because of, you know, some issues that they've had, or they're living in a different state, and so they're, you know, the proximity, they're not here with them. So it's a variety of reasons. Andre, do you have any add to that?
I'm sorry, sir. Just a quick clarification, and then so if we're looking from the outside at the pregnancy aid clinic, knowing everything that the media and culture throws at us, one could, even if they were indifferent, would say, yeah, that's nice, but that's such an impossible thing. They're just not realistic. You can't solve the abortion issue and unwanted children in some pregnancy aid clinic. Listening to what you said and what the obstacles are, you don't have to launch satellites. You don't have to have super tricky things to save these scenarios, right? You can do some very basic. The pregnancy aid clinic mission is an accomplishable mission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so much of it is, and we say this, we walk with women and men side by side. We meet them where they are. And that in and of itself is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Because every situation is a little bit different. And like Andre told the story, and I love that story, when he meanders out into the parking lot and he, I don't know how he did it, but he, you know, made this connection, right? He made this connection with this gentleman, and that's really what he wanted, right? Because he didn't leave for what, 2.5 hours later. He came in the clinic.
Wow.
And he ended up leaving with his girlfriend 2.5 hours later. So that just shows us that, and so many of these appointments are, they're not like 10-minute appointments. Right. A lot of these women do, they're craving support. They're craving connection. They just feel very just alone. They feel very alone. And there was a woman that came in last week, and again, she doesn't want to have an abortion. She just doesn't understand. Her partner is kind of back and forth. She's been back and forth. Her mom, she's actually very close to her mom, and her mom knows something's going on. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what's going on with you? And she's like, nothing, nothing. And so she just has this fear of being vulnerable and transparent. And so the advocates will talk with her, and they'll pray with her. And she ended up not having the abortion. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to parent. So that was a really wonderful story. But so many have all these different emotions and situations going on in their life. And we really just meet them where they are and try to make that connection and build that relationship.
And you offer,
Andre, I feel like I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
No, Sarah was asking if I had anything to add. We had a young man that came in once, and he was contemplating termination with his girlfriend. But after getting his background, he told me about his mother, and that his mother was was pregnant as a teenager, and everyone told her not to have the baby. Uh-huh. And so it didn't register to him until he had the conversation with me.
Wow.
And it came full circle to the fact that now he's like, why did I even have that thought?
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone told my mother.
Wow.
He said, and I'm sitting here in front of you now.
Wow.
I said, you did it yourself. I didn't do anything. I just listened to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But he was also being blinded, right? He was being blinded to that point.
Yeah.
You know, all I can see is Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did God do? When we'd made such a mess of it, he's like, okay, I need to come down there in person.
Sure.
I got to come walk alongside you. I've got to come hold your hand. I've got to look you in the eye. Think about all the stories in the Bible that we hear of Jesus looking people in the eye, people who nobody else would look in the eye.
Yes.
You know, the woman at the woman caught in adultery, right? The leper, the man who'd been crippled for 37 years by the pool, right? Nobody else paid any attention, and he came and looked him in the eye. And that's what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
You guys look them in the eye, and you listen to their stories.
Yes.
And then you just let the Holy Spirit do his work.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. And it's also practical, right? Like you said, there's the practical part of it, right? Helping with the rent assistance, helping with, I've been there. You've got the clothes, mm-hmm. right? Here's clothes, the baby showers, all of these different very practical ways of helping as well. You know, our co-host, who's not here today, Craig, always likes to talk about accompaniment. You guys are accompanying people, mm-hmm. right? So if our listeners are listening, they're going, okay, I want to help.
I want to help. What are some ways that they can help? So if they offer financial assistance, where does that money go? And then if they want to come help, what can they do?
So let me piggyback off of what you said just a moment ago.
Sure.
When you say accompaniment. So part of the donations that we will receive go towards our education department.
Mm.
In our education department, we provide classes for the young men and the young women so that we walk with them through the total 9 months and beyond.
Mm.
As they're taking the classes, they earn what's called points or boutique bucks.
Okay.
And they can redeem those for all the baby items that we have. Each one of our clinics has a boutique located inside. And we have baby wipes. So donations provide the baby wipes, the diapers, baby products. I just picked up this morning from Christ the King.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the third grade? Had a pack drive.
Oh, good.
I picked up my pickup truck filled with diapers, wipes.
Awesome.
Backpacks, books. So all those contributions and donations go towards a myriad of things. But specifically, I was just piggybacking on the accompaniment.
Yeah.
And then Sarah can go from there.
Yeah. So like Andre said, any donations go towards our programs to help these women and men, of course. For the fatherhood, we're looking now to provide scholarships mm-hmm. for some of these men, which is wonderful. We have a Year of Hope program.
Oh, tell us more about that. You mentioned it, and I saw it on your website as well. What is the Year of Hope?
So the Year of Hope program is for families, women, families that are in a crisis, mm-hmm. and it bridges the gap. So if they are facing eviction, let's
mm-hmm.
say,
mm-hmm.
We help people that are facing eviction. We help offset their rent. We have even helped move mm-hmm. people from apartment to apartment or to another residency. It's a program to help those that just are in a extra set of crises that's happening in their life. Well, there's a story that Andre actually was part of the advocate on this, but the family, they had 1 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
They came in, they were expecting, but they had both lost their jobs, the husband and wife, and they just said, there's just no way. We're going to have an abortion. They were abortion determined.
Mm-hmm.
And so we enrolled them in the Year of Hope, and we were able to pay for several months of their rent. And he was able to get his job mm-hmm. back. She was able to get her job back. And then we helped them move into a different, more affordable apartment. And he, through all of this, like Andre said, we work with these couples, these families throughout,
mm-hmm.
not just a month or two, but throughout. And he texted Andre, thank you for saving my family's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the baby was due last September. So they decided mm-hmm. to parent that baby because of us helping them through that. Yeah, they have 4 or 5 months of real financial hardship.
Yeah. Yes, and because they didn't, once again, they were determined to have an abortion mm-hmm. only because financially they thought they couldn't do it.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's terrible. That's terrible that anybody would have to think that way.
I know, and they just think, like you said, Mari and Andre has said this, they just think so immediately, like, mm-hmm. okay, I don't have a job, what am I going to do? And a lot of these people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Year of Hope also helps women who that are living paycheck to paycheck. They don't have maternity leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they don't have paid maternity leave. So if they are having the baby and then off for 6 or 8 weeks, they are already behind on their rent.
Mm-hmm.
They are already behind. And so we help with that.
Yeah.
We help with their rent and anything else they might need. And that's our Year of Hope program.
That's great. Yeah.
And there's another couple where the dad, he got sick with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
He was out medically and allowed them to fall behind on their rent. And so we provided assistance. You know, we saw his medical history where he was out for like 8 weeks. Mm. So we missed those paychecks, those pay periods.
Yeah.
And we were able to step in to help them financially.
So I don't think I've ever done this on all the shows that we've done, Mari, but I'm going to go on a limb here. So maybe I put on my preacher hat. When you die and meet St. Peter at the pearly gates, and he says, "What did you do about the abomination of abortion, John?" I don't want to say, "You know, Peter, St. Peter, I thought it was bad. It was bad." And stop. There better be something behind what I say, right? And so listeners, don't be at the pearly gates saying, "Yeah, I just didn't like it." You guys are going to give us somewhere to go. I'm saying, bust out your calendars and spend some time, bust out your wallets and spend some money. We are talking something you will not want to be accountable for.
Yeah.
And by silence and ignorance, you are complicit.
Right.
That's not theology. That's John's preacher hat on.
Oh, thanks. That's right.
No, I mean, it's totally true, because as you're listening to these stories, as you said, John, we are not building a rocket ship to the moon. Mm-hmm. We are not. You don't have to perform open heart surgery. We are talking about helping people have some hope. And a lot of times they're lacking in hope because they don't have anybody to listen to them, to talk to them, or to help them financially through these periods of time where they are in crisis. And so we can do that. We can give money. I know Andre was just smiling at me when he said Christ the King. I'm part of a Bible study down there, and our ladies stepped up in a big way and just gave a beautiful check to PAC, which I was so excited that we were able to do that. At St. Jude, I know we've got a great group of women. I'm at the parishioner at St. Jude. I just go to Bible study at Christ the King. I'm an equal opportunity. I guess I'm good. But at St. Jude, we've got people I know who are just out here this last weekend collecting.
Yes.
Yep. And so get in touch. Go on the website. You guys have got an amazing website. Go on the website and see how you can support, whether it's in person, whether it's financially, whether it's getting your parish involved, helping do a baby shower for you guys to supply those boutiques that you have. So there are a lot of ways that you can do this. We've only got a couple minutes left, but I do want to make sure we mention PATH, because one of my dear friends was the one who founded PATH 40 years ago or something now, a long time ago when I was on her board. But PATH is the Post-Abortion Treatment and Healing, and it's under PAC now.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about PATH and how PATH also offers hope to those people, both men and women, who already went through abortion, who did, you know, fall into this lie that there was no hope, and who did abort a child, and now they are suffering in so many ways. What does PATH do for them?
Well, Liz, our program director, is just so amazing with PATH, and it really provides the spiritual healing that so many of these women and men who have experienced abortion, because it just leaves such a hole in your heart. And Liz talks about her personal testimony and how going through the retreats just changed her life. And it changes the life of so many of these women. We have about 3 retreats a year, and we have Bible studies. And there is healing out there for anyone that is experiencing that sort of loss from abortion. Please contact us. Go on our website, and Liz would be happy to talk with you, meet with you. She does one-on-one mentoring as well, and would be more than happy to talk to you about a retreat.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah. Make sure to reach out. That would be great.
I'd like to say one thing about PATH. A lot of times it's just misconceptions. So PATH is also healing for maybe a father who was left out of the decision-making process.
Yes, definitely.
And found out that, you know, his child was terminated and may have caused him some trauma and angst when he's around little kids or when he's around his nieces or nephews.
Yeah.
And so, yes, men are left out of the decision-making process a lot of times, and PATH would be a good opportunity for them to get that healing.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So we will have it in our show notes, but listeners, you can go to pregnancyaidclinic.com. As easy as that. Andre, would you close us with a brief prayer?
Yes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I'll pray for the fathers and all of our PAC clients and patients. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
On earth,
as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us
our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much for being here with us. You've been a blessing.
Thank you, Mari and John. Thank you so much.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes. So we, listeners, go on the website once again and also join us again here next week in the Family Room, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families.
Thanks for hanging out with us in the Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright. For more info, go to thequestatlanta.com.